Pesachim Daf Kuf Yud Tes. We are beginning on the bottom of Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, and we are picking up from the discussion that we had yesterday. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yossi was sick. Rav Kahana wanted to know a number of things that were taught over by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yossi's father, obviously Rabbi Yossi. Yesterday we went over one of the limudim that was taught over, and the Gemara now is going to go over a number of other limudim that Rabbi Shimon is going to be quoting in the name of his father, Rabbi Yossi. Va'od shalach lo. This is another one of the limudim. Most of these are going to deal in divrei agadata, not halacha, but still part of the mesorah. Va'od shalach lo gimel meos v'shishim v'chamisha shvakim b'krach gadol shel Rome. There were 365 markets in Rome. V'chol echad v'echad hayu bo shalosh meos v'shishim v'chamisha bironis. Each one of these markets had 365 towers. V'chol bironis v'bironis hayu lo shalosh meos v'shishim v'chamisha ma'alos. And every one of these towers had 365 steps. V'chol mala umala hayubo kedei lazon es kola olam kulo. Each step was able to support the entire world, which obviously means that Rome had a tremendous amount of wealth, excess wealth that could just simply sustain, even just a fraction of that wealth can sustain the whole world. Now, Amar Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe LeRebbe, Va'amri La LeRebbe Yossi LeRebbe. Okay, a little bit of a challenge in terms of girsa. Hani Laman, who is all this wealth going to go to? L'chal l'chavrecha l'chavrasecha. It's going to go to basically the Talmid Chachamim. Shenamar, the Pasuk says, in Yishayahu, Sachra v'esnana, Kodesh l'Hashem, lo yevzer v'lo yechasein, ki liyoshim l'fnei Hashem yiyah. Pasuk in Yishayahu describes that ill-gotten gains, the esnana over here, like the Torah's Pasuk, esnanzona, the wages of a prostitute, which is not allowed to be brought as a karban. So over here, we're talking about those types of ill-gotten gains. So lo yevzer v'lo yechasein, ki liyoshim l'fnei Hashem yiyah. So the simple reading of the Pasuk in Yishayahu is that Rome is not going to end up storing it. The Navi Yishayahu doesn't mention Rome, obviously. Yishayahu comes well before the Roman Empire. But again, this is Nevuah. So it won't be in the storehouses, but rather it's going to go to those people that are sitting in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, otherwise known as the Yoshe Beis Medrash. Gemara goes on to explain all this. My lo yatzer, tani Rav Yosef, lo yatzer, zebeis otzer. So the lo yatzer is referring to the granary, and lo yechasen, zebeis geniza. And that's referring to the treasury. And Michael Yashim Lifnei Hashem. And what does it mean? It's going to the Yoshe Beis Medrash. So Amar Rav Elazar, as we now turn to the top of Kuf Yutes Amarav, Zeh, HaMakim Makam Chaver B'Yeshiva. You spend so much time in the Beis Medrash, you know exactly where everybody's sitting in the Beis Medrash. That's the Rashbam's explanation over here. Igad Amri, slightly different way to say it over, Amar Rav Elazar, Zeh, HaMakim Pnei Chaver B'Yeshiva. You show up to the Beis Medrash so early, that you're basically greeting everybody as they're coming in because you're constantly in the Beis Medrash. So the Gemara now understands that this pasuk over here, Yishayahu, is forecasting a time in which all this wealth is going to end up being transferred from the Romans over to the Yoshe Beis Medrash. Ma'ala machase asik, that pasuk in Yishayahu goes on to describe a covering, an old covering, but the Gemara now is not going to understand the pasuk literally, but continue to give a drasha within this pasuk. The kind of Torah that was taught by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we would describe as the Sisrei Torah. In fact, just read four more words in the Gemara. My name is Sisrei Torah. So we're talking about the hidden matters of the Torah, the more esoteric teachings of the Torah. So nowadays, not just nowadays, but you know, the last let's call it 1,000 years or so, it's described as Kabbalah. But anyway, the Mishnah describes in Chagiga as Maisa Merkava, the vision that Yecheskel saw in the beginning of Sefer Yecheskel, the Navi Yecheskel in the first parak. So these are esoteric teachings of the Torah that are not to be propagated. You're not allowed to teach it in public. The Gemara in Chagiga, which we're going to get to, Mirza Hashem describes how this is supposed to be taught only one-on-one. So anyway, you have somebody who is familiar with this halacha but does not disseminate this kind of Torah to others. So that's the kind of Talmud Chacham we're praising. Igadam in a slightly different version, Zemegaladvarim Shekisa Asik Yomin. Umaynihu Tameh Torah. Over here, the Shvach that we're giving to the Talmud Chacham is the Talmud Chacham who is basically able to explain the Torah. Continuing with the Gemara of Kana Mishim Rabbi Shema Rabbi Yossi. So here we have now our third Misora that's given to us through Rabbi Yishmael by Rabbi Yossi. My dechsev la masech mizmola David. Zamru lemishan oschan oso v'samech. So Pasuk in Tehillim, the fourth parak of Tehillim, describes how we think to Hakadosh Baruch Hu Lamnatzeach, but the Gemara's understanding over here, Lamnatzeach, is a derivative of the word Nitzuach, victory. We were victorious, and therefore David HaMelech is singing. And the Gemara goes on to describe over here what exactly is the victory and who's singing, and a better understanding of what all this means. So, So you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midos aren't exactly like ours. Midos basav adam. When here in this world, when any one of us loses, so obviously we're going to be sad. But with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we defeated HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to clarify what that means in just a moment. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy. Shemamah, the pasuk says, "Vayomer Lashmidem lulei Moshe bechiro, amad beperetz lefanav." Pasuk in Tehillim describes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy the Jewish people. Presumably over here we're talking about Bechet HaEgel. That's a pasuk in Tehillim. And so what Moshe did is that he defended, he stood up and defended the Jewish people, and he stood up against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he actually defeated HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachal, as if we could say it. But he defeated HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the sense that he thwarted the plans of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not end up destroying Klal Yisrael. And what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response? He was happy. He was happy that Moshe defended the Jewish people, happy he didn't have to destroy the Jewish people, so he was happy. So that's the pshat in the pasuk, "Lam natzeach mizmol David," that when we defeated HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was happy. Amar Rav Kana Mishum Rabbi Shema B'Rabbi Yossi. Here we go with another limud. Amar Rabbi Shema Malakish Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah. Now in a slightly different version of who said it, so some attribute it to Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah, but either way, my dechsev, the pasuk says, "V'idei adam mitachas kanfeihem." So we're looking now at Yecheskel in the first parak. It's a little bit ironic. The Gemara just moments earlier said that we're praising the Talmud Chacham who is not going to be revealing Sisrei Sorah, and that is specifically the Ma'ase Merkava. Now the Gemara over here quotes from the Ma'ase Merkava and is going to explain it to us, but truth of the matter is that we're not going to be giving the Gemara is not going to give away any secrets, and our understanding of this, or at least my understanding of this, is going to be extraordinarily limited. But anyway, if you look carefully at the pasuk over there, the pasuk reads, "Videi Adam," and meanwhile, Yado Ksiv, the actual Ksiv over here is Yado, his hands, a Yado Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's a reference to the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, Kaviyachol, it's anthropomorphic, but it's the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shepusa Tachas Kanfei HaChayos, it's under the wing of the Chayos, one of the celestial beings. Kedei Lakabal Balei Tshuva Miyad Midas Adin, in order to accept the Balei Tshuva from the Midas Adin. The Midas Adin wants to take the Balei Tshuva and punish the Balei Tshuva, despite the fact that he's a Balei Tshuva, but nevertheless, he's got many things on his account. And basically, what we're describing over here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates other channels, underground channels, in which we're able to accept the Balei Tshuva. Okay, to the best of our ability to understand. We are in Kuf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. We're about a third of the way down, and we're starting now with the words Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. The Gemara now is going to take us through a little bit more Agadata. All the wealth of the world was collected by Yosef. Obviously, this is during the years of famine. Now, I, at this point in time, totally understand he collected the wealth of both Mitzrayim and Canaan. How do I know that he collected the wealth of the other parts of the world as well? So the entire world came to Mitzrayim in order to buy food. So at this point in time, Yosef has amassed basically the entire fortune of the world. Now we're going to follow the money over here. I know it's cliche, but that's exactly what the Gemara is going to do. Follow the money. When we came up from Mitzrayim, so we took that wealth with us. Shenemar v'inasuos Mitzrayim. So we went down and we exploited the Egyptians. It's part of the haftacha that was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avraham Avinu at Bris Ben HaBesarim, that we were going to leave by Rechush Gadol. And we left with Rechush Gadol. And the pasuk in Shmos describing how we took the money by Inasuos Mitzrayim, the Gemara is going to spend just a couple of lines explaining what is the derivative of that word, Ravasi Amarasu Kimitsuda, Zu She'ein Bo Dagan. So it's like a trap that doesn't have any grain in it. The Rashbam goes on to explain that, generally speaking, when you have traps, you lay grain inside the traps in order to collect the whatever you're trying to trap. Over here, presumably, we're trapping birds. Anyway, the point is that there was nothing left. Rabbi Shimon Amar Kimitzula Shein Bo Dagim. Another way to understand it, it's like a net that you put into the river in order to trap the fish, and it's like there's no more fish anymore. And basically, we emptied Mitzrayim out. Vayamunach ad Rechavam. And so this money now is in our hands until Rechavim. So that's a long time. It's over 5 centuries. From Yitzias Mitzrayim all the way to Rechavim, the son of Shlomo HaMelech. It was from Yitzias Mitzrayim to the building of the first base of Mikdash 480 years. So we're approximately 500 years later. So that we had this wealth. So now what happens is Bashishak Melech Mitzrayim and Atlu Merechavim. Shishak, the king of Mitzrayim, goes ahead and takes this money away from Rechavim. Shenemar the pasuk, Vayiba shana chemishis amelach Rechavim ala shishak melach Mitzrayim al Yushalayim v'ikaches otzeros beis Hashem v'satzeros beis Hamelach. Okay, so it's beferish in the pesukim and Malachim how Shishak goes ahead and takes their money. Bazerach melach Kush v'nat lo mishishak. Zerach, the king of Kush, goes and takes that money away from Shishak. Ba'asa v'nat luhu mizerach melach Kush. And along comes Asa, a later king of Malchut Yehuda, taking that wealth and bringing it back to Eretz Yisrael. Vishigur lahadrimon ben Tav Rimon. But then what he did, Asa, is he gave that wealth, he gave that money over to Hadrimon ben Tav Rimon, and basically Bo b'nei Amon b'nat Lum. Now, the Rashbam goes on to describe over here, the money was given to Hadrimon ben Tav Rimon as basically mercenaries. In other words, there was fear of attack by the north, and so what he did is he paid off these mercenaries. And apparently, they cost a lot of money. He used all this fortune in order to pay it off. So the money now has been exchanged to Hadrimon ben Tavrimon, Ba'u b'nei Amon ben Atlum, Hadrimon ben Tavrimon. So the b'nei Amon took it from Hadrimon, Ba Yehoshaphat ben Atlum b'nei Amon. So Yehoshaphat took it from the b'nei Amon, Ba Yamunach ad Achaz. And it was left over there until Achaz. Basanchev and Atlum Achaz. Sancherev takes it from Achaz. Bachiskev and Atlum Sancherev. Chiskev comes and takes it from Sancherev. Ayamunach ad Tzidkiyahu. And basically up until the last king of Yehuda for the first base of Mikdash. So the money was still now with us. From Chiskev until Tzidkiyahu. Ba'u Kazdim and Atluhu mit Tzidkiyahu. So comes the Babylonians and takes it from Tzidkiyahu. Bar Parsim and Alumi Kastian, Persians take it from the Babylonians. Bar Yivanim and Alumi Parsim, Greeks take it from the Persians. And Bar Romim and Alumi Yad Yivanim. And the Romans take it from the Greeks. Adai Munach Romi, and all this wealth can still be found in Rome. Amar Rebbe Chama. The Gemara now is going to give us a slightly different version about describing this wealth that was amassed by Yosef. Amar Rabbi Chana Bar Chinana, Shalosh Matmoni Osit Min Yosef B'Mitzrayim. So basically what Yosef did is he collected all these treasures and he divided it into 3 different treasuries. Achad Nisgala L'Korach, one was revealed to Korach, V'Achad Nisgala L'Antoninos Ben Asfiros, where the other one was given to the Caesar living at the same time as Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, V'Achas Genuzel of Tzadikim L'Asilavo, and the last one is left for the Tzadikim for the world to come. So obviously this accounting over here is slightly different than the previous accounting. And okay, so you have a couple of different accounts in terms of where exactly the wealth went. Osha Shamur Lavalav L'Ra'aso. The Gemara now is going to spend just a couple more moments describing Korach and this newfound wealth that he got. We're going to start with the Pasuk Koheles, and the Pasuk Koheles describes that when you have this kind of wealth that's hoarded by its owner, so it's liberal, so it's not going to end up good. I'm Rabbi Shimon Malakish Zu Asho Shal Korach. It's describing the wealth that the Korach acquired. Vezkala Yikum Asher Biraglehem. I'm Rabbi Lazu Zemamonah Shal Adam Shemamido Avraglav. What happens is that when a person comes onto this kind of money, it helps him stand on his feet. And over here, the Gemara does not mean it in a positive way. The Gemara means to say basically it gave Korach the arrogance, the chutzpah, to stand up against Moshe. Had it not been for that wealth, he would have been a lot more humble. But that wealth, it literally held him up. Well, not literally, but it basically gave him the confidence, the arrogance to stand up against Moshe. And then the Gemara makes one more comment regarding this wealth. Amar Rabbi Levi, Masu Yishol Shmeos Pratos Levanos Hayu Mavtechos Beiskin Azov Shal Karach V'Kulu Aklita V'Klipa De Galda. The Gemara over here gives a very detailed description of the keys that were used to lock the treasuries of Korach, where it took 300 white mules to carry all the keys just to unlock the treasury. And the keys were made up of leather. So admittedly, it's very detail-oriented. Obviously, this is a Gadata. So the details over here, my best guess would be that they are symbolic of ideas which I cannot articulate. Continuing in the Gemara. Am Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmini, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. We're going to go back to Halal now. We're at the end of Halal. So as we are rounding out the last number of psukim within Halal, this is the 118th parak of Tehillim. The Gemara now is going to understand that these psukim in Tehillim really are structurally a kind of discussion dialogue that took place at the moment in which Shmuel comes to the family of Yishai in order to look for and anoint the new king. And basically what happens is, just as a quick synopsis, is that Yishai had 8 sons. Shmuel comes over and says that one of them is going to be anointed as a king. And Yishai presents each one of the sons from the firstborn all the way to number 7. Shmuel looks at each one of them and says, no, not this one. And Shmuel says, is there anyone left? So there was David, the 8th of the 8 sons, for reasons which are not perfectly clear, but he was never viewed by the father that he was going to become, certainly not the king of the Jewish people. And so he didn't even have a havamina that he was going to be the king. Anyway, as we all know, he presents David in front of Yishai, and Yishai says, Zehu, that's it. This is it. This is going to become the next king of the Jewish people. And V'kachayan, and it's at that point in time, David was anointed. With all that, the Gemara now is going to understand that these psukim at the end of Halal really give us almost like a line-by-line description of the events that occurred at the anointing of David HaMelech. I'm grateful to Kadosh Baruch Hu because he answered me, Amar David. That's David speaking. Evan Masu Abanim Haisalush Bina. The stone that was rejected ends up becoming the foundation. So Amar Yishai, that was Yishai saying that, obviously regarding the fact that his son was originally rejected and then elected. Meis Hashem Haisazos. So the next pasuk, the next phrase, this is all coming from Kadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Chav, the brothers realize that this is all from Hashem. This is the day that Kadosh Baruch Hu made. That's Shmuel talking. Ana Hashem Oshiana Am Rechav. Kadosh Baruch Hu, please save us. Right, the Jewish people were being attacked by many enemies, including the Plishtim. So the brothers at this point in time were asking Kadosh Baruch Hu to be saved. Ana Hashem Atzlichana Amar David. So and asking for success, that was David HaMelech. Baruch Hu B'Shem Hashem Amar Yishai. So he welcomed him, B'Shem Hashem, that's Yishai, presumably talking to Shmuel. Berech Nechum Beis Hashem Amar Shmuel. And Shmuel says, okay, good. I'm glad I'm welcomed. El Hashem Yar Lanu Amar Kulam. And the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu enlightened, so that everyone said. And finally, Yisrochak Bavosim Amar Shmuel. And the idea that now we're going to bring Karbanos, Chag over here is a reference to Karbanos. In order to celebrate, so that was said over by Shmuel. Keli Atavi Odeka Amar David. So this is my God. That's said by David. And Elokai Rameka Amar Kulam. And Elokai Rameka is said by all of them. Okay, so basically, we took the last psukim of Halal, and we assigned each one of them to one of the participants of that particular scene of David HaMelech being anointed as a king. Tanan Hasam. We go all the way back now to the Mishnah, and here we're quoting a Mishnah from the third parak of Sukkah, a description of Halal. The Mishnah over there says, "Makum shenagu lachbol yichbol and lifshot yafshot levarach achar v'yavarach al kol kemenag medina." The Mishnah over there in the third parak of Sukkah notes that there are a number of things that are just simply subject to minhagim. So, number one, if you want to repeat Sukkah and Halal, by all means, if that's a minhag, so then repeat. And if you don't want to repeat Pesukim and Halal, so then don't repeat Pesukim and Halal. In just a moment, we're going to get to our minhag. Also, if you want to make a bracha after Halal, by all means, do so. And if your minhag is not to make a bracha after Halal, so then don't do so. The Gemara has a number of points to clarify. Number one, Am Rabbi Loshanu El Alacharav. Av Alafan of Mitzvah Levarich. The only time that it's subject to a minhag to make a bracha is only the bracha after Halal. But the bracha before Halal, that's not a minhag, that's a halacha. I'm Rabbi Yudah Meshmol Klal Mitzvahs Mevarech Alem Over L'Asiyasam. So we have a general rule. We've seen this a number of times throughout Shas. Is that anytime we're talking about a Berachos HaMitzvah, you make the Berachos HaMitzvah immediately prior to doing the mitzvah. The language over here employed by Rabbi Yudah Meshmol is that Over L'Asiyasam. What does that mean? Over L'Asiyasam. Well, I just explained. It's immediately prior, but how do we know? So my mashma dahai over lishna de akdumehu. So every time this Gemara comes up, the Gemara goes through the same sources in terms of how do we know that the word over means immediately prior. Amrav Nachmar Yitzchak dechsi vayiratza chimatz derech akikar vayavor es akushi. So you see the word vayavor, which means that he went in front of. Abai amar meachav v'hu avar lifnehem. So here we have a second source. Anikad amri meachav vayavor malkam lifnei Hashem v'rosh, malkam lifnehem v'hashem v'roshem. So three times in Tanakh where we have this idea of a Yavor talking about immediately preceding. And so when it comes to the Berachos HaMitzvah that we say over Halo, so that you are going to be saying, and that is not subject to a minhag. Although just to give a slightly more detailed account over here about the Berachos Rishon of Halo, so we're talking about when a person is making the full Halo on Yontev, except for the last days of Pesach, and on Chanukah. So there's a mitzvah to say halal shalom, to make a full halal. And so because it's a mitzvah, so then the bracha rishona is unquestionably an obligation. It's not subject to a minhag. However, to be fair, halal that we say in Rosh Chodesh, and for that matter, the halal that we say on the last days of Pesach, last days just simply means any day after one in Eretz Yisrael, after two here in Chutz Laaretz. So that's minhag. In other words, the idea that we say halal on those days is subject to a minhag. It's not an absolute requirement. But it's a minute. The Gemara in Tanis goes through how Rav himself was shocked when he came to Bavel and he saw them saying Halal on Rosh Chodesh. He never saw that before, so clearly in Eretz Yisrael wasn't a minhag, and Bavel was a minhag. Anyway, it's a minhag. Should we be saying a bracha on a minhag, notably on Rosh Chodesh, on Halal on Rosh Chodesh? Okay, so it's a major debate. And I'm not going to go through it right now, but what the Gemara over here is describing unequivocally is that for sure you're going to be making a bracha on the full halal that we say on Yantav and that we say on Chanukah. Tanya, the Gemara here now is going to be talking about repeating the psukim, Rabbi Kofel Badvarim, Rabbi Lazar ben Parta Mosif Badvarim. So the Gemara over here doesn't say it super clearly, but the Gemara basically says that the minhag of various Tanayim, notably Rabbi Lazar ben Parta, is to repeat some of the psukim. Take a look at the Rashbam over here. It's the second Rashbam on this Amud, Kofel Badvarim. So this is the minhag of Rebbe to repeat some of the psukim. Me'at, just some of the psukim, says the Rashbam. Hayikofel mi baruch haba lamata. So baruch haba mishem Hashem, from that point going forward. So it's those psukim and only those psukim that got repeated. And as far as the minhag of Rabbi Lazar ben Parta, so he did more. He actually repeated more from Odecha, which, by the way, is our minhag. That already from Odecha, so we're repeating the psukim. Velim Yira, if I can share an interesting Rashbam over here. The Rashbam writes, fourth line down in the Rashbam. Mishim kavod Yishai Yishmo v'David v'echav she'amruhu me'odecha lamata k'damir la'el koflin osa. So v'yesh l'shon asacheres v'lo nehira. So why specifically are these psukim going to be repeated? So the Rashbam writes that it actually connects to what we learned earlier in the daf. Earlier in the daf, we assigned these psukim as part of the dialogue that was said by Yishai, David, Shmuel, the brothers, all of them. So in response to that, there's a little bit more chashivas to these psukim, and so therefore these psukim get repeated. That's the Rashbam's understanding of why we repeat from Odecha and onward. The Rashbam notes that there are other explanations that are given, but the Rashbam himself readily admits that he's not a big fan of these other explanations. Okay. So that is two variant minhagim in terms of which psukim are going to be repeated. And again, the repetition of psukim is subject to minhag. So my mosif, I'm rabbi, and mosif lichbol me odecha lamata. Okay, so what we just said in terms of where they repeat the psukim from, so Abai said that as a pshat in Rav Lazar ben Parta. Adkan, that takes us to the end of Halal. And just one more piece of Agadata before we get to the next Mishnah. Darish Rav Avira Zimnim Amar Le Mishmeid. Rav Zimnim Amar Le Mishmeid de Rav Asi. So Rav Avira says the following drasha. Now sometimes he says it B'shem Rav, sometimes B'shem Rav Asi. My dechsev the pasuk Vayigadel HaYeled Vayigamel. So over here talking about when Yitzchak finally was weaned from his mother. And the Gemara now is going to understand that this is not, I mean, obviously the Pashup Shah and the Pasuk is that it's talking about Yitzchak, but the Gemara now is understanding that this is also a Nevuah for the future. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to provide a Seudah for the Tzaddikim on the day in which the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be bestowed to the children of Yitzchak. Now, there's going to be a tremendous suda with food and drink. And now, the kosher bracha, meaning, we're looking at benching right now. Who's going to be leading in the benching? So this is talking about us at Lavo, so everyone's coming back. And so with everybody returning, so who's going to lead us in the benching? So first one who was offered the kosher bracha was Avram. And what did he say? He refused. So Avram Avinu Kosher Bracha Levarach V'Amar Lahem Inim Avarach Shiatzim Imani Yishmal. So he says, I can't do it. I had Yishmal come from me. Amar Lo Yitzchak Tol Varech. So they give it to Yitzchak and they ask him to lead in the benching. Amar Lahem Inim Avarach Shiatzim Imani Esav. He says, I can't do it. I had Esav come from me. Amar Lo Yaakov Tol Varech Amar Lahem Inim Avarach Shinasasi Sheyachos Bechayim Shasida Torah Lo Osram Alai. He says, look, I can't bench. So I married two sisters, which is connected to the Torah. Moshe says, I can't bench, because I didn't live in Eretz Yisrael, I wasn't buried in Eretz Yisrael. Yeshua says, I didn't have a son, I can't bench. Meaning that's it, the end of the Yichus regarding Yeshua ends with himself, meaning he didn't have any sons. And they give it to David. David says, good. So I'm going to lead in the benching. And I'm appropriate. Quoting the pasuk from Tehillim as to the appropriate nature of David HaMalach. Now this Gemara is well known. It's a popular Gemara. It's also very difficult. It's a strange Gemara. In that each one of them is pointing to a personal flaw that they've had over their lives. Which feels that they should be disqualified, and meanwhile David just simply takes the cup and not recognizing his own flaws, and I'm not going to say over what the flaws of David and Melech are, but I have a good feeling that we're all thinking the same thing. So obviously the Gemara over here needs to be understood a lot better in terms of how each one of them are disqualifying themselves, and David is not. And okay, and it could very well be that all this is just a function of benching, meaning this could be just a reflection of benching and not the general who's got more zechuis than the others. Okay, that's probably the better approach in terms of how to see a Gemara like this, and it's a Agadata, and obviously to begin with, Agadatas are just, they're difficult to understand, but certainly an interesting piece of Agadata. Okay, we'll leave ourselves off over here. We'll start with the Mishnah tomorrow. In Maftir Nachar Pesach Hatikamen. So that Mishnah, the discussion. So we'll begin with it tomorrow. In the meantime, let's just recap. It's been all Agadata, for the balance of today's daf. We went over all the various teachings that were taught by Rabbi Shmuel by Rabbi Yossi that he received as a Masorah from his father, Rabbi Yossi. So we went over one of them today. We went over them one of them yesterday. And the balance of them we went over in today's daf, taking us through the halachas of, not so much halachas, it's agadata, but regarding the agadata of all the transfer of wealth from Rome, we're going to go to the Talmid HaChachamim, that takes us to Kuf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. The fact that that Moshe stood up to Kadosh Baruch Hu when Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy the Jewish people. And Moshe successfully defended the Jewish people. That was another limud. The Gemara from there discussed just a couple more topics. One, the wealth that was amassed by Yosef and where exactly the money went. So we had two different viewpoints in terms of what happened to the money. One is that the money just basically bounced around from one nationality to another. And eventually ended up in Rome. In a slightly different version, they was broken up into three different treasures. One of them was taken by Korach, the other one was taken by the Caesar Anthony, and the third one was is left for the Tzaddikim Lasid Lavo. Korach receiving all that wealth, so that basically gave him the legs to stand up against Moshe. And the Gemara is not saying that as a positive manner, but fine. And then the last topic of discussion that we had today was regarding Halal. Number one, the end of Halal and how it fits into the storyline of Shmuel anointing David HaMelech as being king. The Minhagim of repeating the last Pesukim of Halal. The Gemara tells us that those last Pesukim in Halal is repeated, but subject to a minhag, meaning whatever your minhag is. The Gemara noted that the minhag of Rav Elazar ben Parta is to start repeating the Pesukim when you get to Odecha, which the Rashbam actually connects to the Amud Aleph of today's daf. Meaning just like we learned that those Pesukim are connected to the episode of Shmuel anointing David as being Melech, so too, because of the Cheshivas of those Pesukim, so therefore they're going to get repeated. And then we end it off, one more point regarding Halal, and that is, there's a minhag in terms of making the bracha afterwards. Some have the minhag to make a bracha afterwards, some don't. The bracha Rishona on a full Halal, not subject to a minhag, that is Halacha Gemura. And then finally, the last thing that we did is some famous agadats regarding the benching that's going to occur last at Lavo, in which Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, and Yehoshua all turned down the kosher bracha, and then eventually handed over to David HaMelech, and David said, fine, I'll take it from here. And actually made a bench over the kosher bracha, feeling that it's appropriate for him. Quoting a pasuk from Tehillim, Kos Yeshua says of Hashem Hashem Ekra. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the Mishnah.